Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Marie Ritacco, continue to be flabbergasted. Yeah. Months ago, I was out there clanging pots and banging and yelling and screaming and championing our healthcare workers and loving our nurses, or loving our EMS people, etc. Right. So how in the world, with all that love and all that imperative and need for healthcare workers who were overworked and understaffed, our hospitals, etc., in the middle of pandemic, how is it possible that you folks, our St. Right. Vincent nurses, have been forced for months and months and months onto a picket line?
Back in March of 2000, nurses and other frontline healthcare givers were lauded as heroes. It's not anything that we wanted to be. None of us want to be heroes. We wanted to do our job, do it well, and go home safely to our families. And that was a very tall order in light of the fact that the majority of our employers, although, you know, I would say logistically speaking, our government and, you know, those entities that should be concerned about taking care of its citizens in the United States knew that something like this was coming. This was wholly predictable and predicted that it would happen. So we found ourselves in a situation at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester that we were faced with a shortage of personal protective equipment. You know, those N95 masks that filter out these microscopic organisms that we use frequently in our practice, have for many, many years, and they work quite well, but they are meant for single use. You don a mask, you go into a patient's room, you take care of them, and that mask is then considered soiled. When we started having to face the fact that this was a pandemic, you know, the likes of which we haven't seen in over a century, nurses were horrified to find out that our employers, and at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester, run by Tenet Healthcare Corporation, we were essentially told that we had to reuse a single-use mask for 5 shifts, not 5 uses during one shift, but for 5 whole shifts, we had to reuse a single mask. And for multiple days, as many as you possibly could, you also had to reuse a thin plastic gown to cover your clothing. And then you had to wash that in between patients. And as you can imagine, that was a horrifying thing to have to deal with. We knew that not only would we more than likely be infecting other patients who were not COVID positive, but we knew that many of ourselves and our coworkers would end up getting COVID and bringing it home, and that is what happened. Not just a handful of nurses in the United States actually died from COVID during the pandemic, and many, many more thousands became ill and brought that virus home and infected family members. How do you go from being a hero to essentially being a zero is an interesting question. At St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester, when Tenet Healthcare Corporation received $2.6 billion in pandemic funding, the CARES Act money that came out in April or May of 2000, they turned around and at St. Vincent Hospital furloughed as many nurses as they possibly could furlough out the door. Nurses that work in areas that are typically driven by a census related to elective procedures. So in the operating room or in the cardiac cath lab, the GI lab, any place where we did cases that were essentially elective, the census was driven right down to zero because we had to preserve all the PPE and the materials that we had and worry about taking care of some of the sickest patients we had ever seen in our lives. So that was not only their method of operating in Worcester, but they did that across the country in the roughly 60 other hospitals that they had too. And it is estimated that they laid off about 10% of their workforce during the pandemic. They took that money, that more than $2.5 billion, they paid down their own debt that didn't need to be paid for almost 5 years. They bought a group of surgery centers. I think they had 44 surgery centers in all that they bought, and I think they paid almost $1.2 billion for that. They did everything but take care of the patients inside the hospital. So they removed the skilled hands of nurses and others at a time when we needed them more than ever. nurses in the ICU had two of the sickest patients they'd ever cared for, and many of them, unfortunately, succumbed to the illness. Our nurses in the ICU saw more patients die in a six-month period than they probably had seen in their whole careers. Devastation is not even a word that begins to explain what has happened to many of our nurses that worked, especially in the ICUs and on the floors. They felt helpless no matter what they did. Many of their patients died. This is a business method for St. Vincent Hospital, and I'm sure there are other facilities, with regard to basically withholding hands from the bedside, forcing nurses into 4 and 5 patient assignments. They were commingling patients who were COVID positive and COVID negative, so you know what kind of consequences that can have, and just simply not listening to us. We had been telling them for 7-8 months prior to the pandemic that working conditions at St. Vincent Hospital had deteriorated so greatly that we could not sustain that level of work. So you can imagine once the pandemic hit, our workload became exponentially more difficult. That essentially is how we ended up having to take a strike authorization vote and ended up going out on strike on March 8th. And now here we are on day 177, which makes us the longest nurses' strike in the history of the state of Massachusetts, and I believe the longest strike in the country for over 15 years.
And how did negotiations proceed during this five-month period, and where are you with the negotiations now?
The last time we met with the hospital was almost 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, although we did present them with a counterproposal to their last proposal, which essentially included us accepting their last, best, and final offer, what we also did was we made a counterproposal on a bonus that they proposed, and we tried to make it more equitable. And we also had our return to work proposal on the table, which included all nurses who are on strike returning to their own positions once the strike had ended. They essentially rejected our proposal and said that their return to work agreement would displace about 118 nurses from the jobs that they held when they went out on strike, and they would be replaced with nurses from outside the hospital or nurses that had transferred who stayed in the hospital on March 8th when we went out on strike. That is not anything that we are willing to entertain. That places patients in that facility in a very, very unsafe condition. Many of the nurses that they hired from outside of the hospital are novice nurses, new graduate nurses. And I'll give you an example of what this means.
Talking about 700 to 800 nurses that are out?
We have almost 700 nurses that are out on strike with us right now. We remain out of the building at this point simply because the hospital has rejected our return to work proposal, which includes every nurse that wants to come back, going back into his or her own position. You know, they've kind of cherry-picked the best positions in the hospital and used them as a reward for some of the nurses who actually stayed in during the strike, as a reward for what we would call the scab nurses, to go to areas where they work Monday through Friday, no weekends, no holidays. And these positions were used as basically a reward. And then there are about almost 40 nurses that are new graduate nurses that have been placed in some of the most highly skilled areas that we have. I wanted to give an example of one area. We have what they call a level 2B nursery. It's for premature infants born at 32 weeks or greater, who are very fragile and need some highly skilled monitoring and intervention from nurses and physicians. And they like to tout the fact that they have very skilled, expert hands monitoring and intervening, and say we have, which we do, have some highly skilled nurses in this area prior to the strike. They have replaced two nurses that worked prior to the strike in this level 2B nursery. They each have about 40 years experience. They have replaced these two nurses with two graduate nurses, newly graduated nurses who are novices, who have never worked in a healthy baby nursery, never mind a level 2B nursery, which is basically an intensive care unit. So this is what we're talking about. This retaliation that the hospital is trying to foist upon the nurses is basically just that. It is a retaliatory measure to punish us for going out on strike, to bring notice to the fact that this hospital is basically understaffed. They were understaffed every day, every shift prior to us going out on strike. You know, we had patients who were falling at an alarmingly high rate because we did not have enough people to provide them with one-on-one observation. So those tasks fell to the nurse. And when you have four other patients in your assignment, you're just not able to be there, you know, at every moment that the patient may need you.
Marie, let me ask you this. So here we are in these intensive care situations, life or death situations, with spikes all over the place in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Folks have been out for 5 months. What does this also mean for the patient care? What's happening in the hospitals? What's happening with the overstaffing to begin with? And now what's happening with the refusal to protect and guard and give the benefits that are fundamental to the work that our healthcare providers, such as yourself, do?
I share your concern about what's happening with the patients inside that building right now. Nurses are very concerned about that. We should have never had to go out on strike in the first place. You know, we tried diligently in the year before the pandemic to try and get them to discuss improving staffing in that building. And it was very obvious once we had lived through the first surge of the pandemic that when they saw what nurses were able to do with less staff, we were frightened because we realized that our conditions were never going to improve because they believed that they found out that nurses could practice with less staff, believe it or not, and still get the job done. It doesn't mean it was done as good as it should have been done. It was a huge dissatisfier for nurses. They would walk out of that building essentially crying every single day because they knew that they did not meet an expectation that they have placed on themselves on providing the best care possible. But I think the hospital looked at it and said, wow, you know, they can do this. And we, again, continue to try through labor management and pushing the envelope on the inside of the building, trying to meet with management as much as possible to express our dissatisfaction and our fear that patients were literally being harmed by their horrible staffing. So, I mean, we knew at that point then that more than likely we were going to have to take a job action and step outside of that building. But we remain very concerned about the patients in that building. 3 weeks ago, we looked at what was going on with the climbing COVID numbers driven by the Delta variant. We realized that although we had not achieved every single element of our staffing proposal, that we had achieved enough at that point to make it still a meaningful strike and to make it a much safer place. That is why we accepted their last best final offer with regard to the remaining issues on the table, which included their last staffing proposal. We knew that we had to get back in that building sooner than later. We knew that, you know, these traveling nurses that they hired were moving on to other areas of the country that are absolutely devastated by COVID because they were able to make more money. I mean, they're typically driven by the money. They go where the money is. And so that is why we made that very difficult decision to not continue on and to accept their last offer. But when they put the poison pill in their counter proposal, you know, saying that each nurse would not be able to go back to her own job if it were filled, we just could not accept that. All of those, you know, great improvements that we made in staffing would mean nothing if you did not have the appropriate hands at the bedside. These novice nurses need the assistance and the mentoring of our very experienced nurses that are walking the street around the hospital. You know, there are over 110 of them. Some of them have 30 to 40 years experience, and they're still very capable of getting back into that building and helping us to, as I said, mentor and get some of these new hires. And we know we are going to need these new hires When we went as a group of nurses from St. Vincent's to confront our employer in Dallas, and we were joined there by two of the workers from two of the hospitals that Tenet owns in California that did go on to take a strike authorization vote. And, you know, their issues were more related to ability to work safely. And we heard some incredible stories from them. A Fortune 100 company, you know, charging outrageous premiums for health insurance, so outrageous that some of their own employees can't even afford to buy the health insurance. They went on to actually settle both of those contracts with Tenet, and they got exactly what they were asking for, what they were demanding, I should say, what they needed. And I have to say, we take some satisfaction in that in Worcester, because we believe that, you know, this is a job action. This is a strike that can help other workers across the country. So we were really gratified to find out that those two ladies that came to visit with us, that were fighting the same beast as us, were successful and did not have to go out on strike, and they were able to achieve what they needed to get into their contract to prevent them from having to hit the streets also. Yeah, I mean,
this is also a really scummy company.
They
you
are.
Know, the it CEO, Ronald Rittenmeier, boasted of while speaking to shareholders about the company's record revenue throughout the pandemic.
That's right.
And weren't they also in 2016 forced to pay over $500 million to settle charges of a kickback scheme?
Yes. Tenet is no stranger to having to pay fines for their dirty deeds. This is their MO. This is their business model. They do things that don't need to be done, implant things that don't need to be implanted, and sometimes they get caught. They treat their employees terribly. They just had to pay a fine to two physicians somewhere in the Midwest because they essentially blackballed them. Because they blew the whistle on Tenet and said, look, you're doing things that don't need to be done, and you're fraudulently billing for things that you're saying you're doing, but you're not. I mean, they're just a wholly unethical company. They should not be in the business of healthcare. And, you know, even saying that, the business of healthcare itself should not be a business. You know, companies should not be able to profit off of the suffering of people, and that's what's happening. And more than the workers suffering, the nurses at St. Vincent's are concerned that our patients are suffering. But make no mistakes about it, the nurses are suffering also.
What has been the reaction of the community? I know a number of clergy throughout Worcester have come out, and presumably their congregations also. But in general, in addition to that, what has been the reaction? Who's showing up the picket lines?
I'm proud to say that we have tremendous support from our community. And I'm talking about grassroots organizations, people that are fighting for workers' rights. I think we've had four candlelight vigils run by Worcester Interfaith Group, multi-denominational group. We had a vigil last week. There were nine pastors of various denominations that came to pray with us and to pray for us and to encourage us to keep going. And that has been so uplifting for us. In fact, we had a gentleman, his name is Scott Schaefer Duffy from Worcester, who is an activist. He and his group went into the hospital and actually unfurled a banner, and they performed an exorcism, which was just a beautiful thing to behold. Somebody filmed it. They walked out with their banner unfurled. But we've had tremendous support from our, you know, Worcester delegation, our legislators, our electeds. You know, we've had Elizabeth Warren on the line multiple times, and Ed Markey, and Jim McGovern. So we've enjoyed tremendous support from other unions. And
Let me ask you this, Marie. And I'm angry to maybe have to be a patient in that situation.
Yes.
And I'm really angry about workers being treated with such incredible disdain. They are absolute cannon fodder for these companies like Tenet. don't you think it's about time? Isn't there something more militant or something missing from the labor movement, if you will, that people in a pandemic who are healthcare workers have to be on a picket line for 5 months? And I'm not trying to demean our unions, and I'm not wild-eyed ultra-left and stuff, but we're too nice.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I understand what you're saying. Look at the world we live in. I mean, bad behavior is acceptable. Tenet is a bad actor. They really are angry also and outraged by the fact that, you know, we've had multiple very influential federal legislators who have called on the CEO of Tenet Healthcare Corporation to say, enough is enough. People are being harmed. Let's get this done. And it's not happening. It's not happening.
Shouldn't we take over one of their yachts? Shouldn't we
that sounds like a good idea.
Have an exorcism at one of their homes?
I share your outrage. I share your outrage. And, you know, I guess I'll leave that up to people that are a little more adventurous than I am. And I guess I'm going to continue to fight in the traditional pathways. But I so agree with you. This is not, you know, the same country as it was 20 years ago. You know, people turn a blind eye to what is perceived as being bad behavior. And as I mean, we've had someone in the White House who gets away with, you know, the most awful behavior. It just seems like it's so acceptable. And I don't know why more people aren't outraged by the fact that, you know, we have basically criminals that are running an enterprise where they are running hospitals. I mean, they're involved in criminal activity. I don't think any of them has ever spent one day in jail for the multiple allegations. These are crimes. They're taking federal funds. They're taking our taxpayers' dollars, our hard-earned money, and it's essentially confiscated, and they don't have to show that they've done anything with it that was intended, which is to take care of people.
What are the explicit demands, and how can listeners get on board to bring you folks back to where you belong, to your jobs in attending to the catastrophically sick, to the patients that the nurses administer to with such tender, loving care and concern, which has been my experience at every single time that I have been near a healthcare facility. It is the nurses, it is the aides, et cetera, that do the heavy lifting and are the heroic and heroic people that deserve to be honored, but deserve to be honored by responding to the material demands that they put out. So what are those demands, and whom do we put the pressure on to make sure that you're back where you belong at your job in the healthcare facility?
Yeah. Our demand is that every nurse be able to go back to the position that they came from. You know, their proposal that, you know, yeah, there'll be a job for you. You know, you might be 60 years old, but you can go back to the night shift and, you know, you can leave the area that you've worked in for 25 years because we've hired somebody who has no experience to replace you. That's not acceptable. So the demand at this point is that they accept our last return to work agreement. And the biggest sticking point, as I said, was that every nurse will go back to his or her own position. We also have to understand that we can't just roll over and accept this horrific return to work agreement. It would put us in and our patients in a very unsafe and precarious position. It will not help us to get back into that building and to start rebuilding. We haven't been in that building for 6 months. It's devastated. So many people have left already that aren't even in the Department of Nursing because it's not the same place.
Who do we put the pressure on to make sure that there isn't a retaliatory behavior and that our nurses can get back at the positions that they have been trained and are skilled in?
Some of the nurses have actually gotten online and decided that they would call the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra. He is very well versed in treacherous healthcare corporations. He is well aware of the type of corporation that Tenet Healthcare is. So trying to enlist the help or the ear of somebody like that is a good idea. We've also had many nurses call on Governor Baker and ask him to intervene because St. Vincent Hospital's census has been driven way down, and we are in the middle of a pandemic. And our other two sister hospitals in the city, which are run by UMass Memorial, are really inundated with patients. So our community is suffering, not only because they can't go to St. Vincent Hospital and expect to have safe and appropriate care there, but because they're now being driven to two other facilities that are overrun, and the patients and the nurses are having a very difficult time navigating daily life there because it's artificially increased their census. So Governor Baker has, I believe, weighed in. I don't know what he's had to say to Tenet. Nothing at this point has worked. We've also told Secretary Sutters, who is Secretary of Health and Human Services for the state of Massachusetts, what's going on. So these are people that certainly could be called upon, have a letter sent to them. But, you know, people just need to pay attention to what's going on in their own communities, too, because it's not only happening in Worcester. There are other nurses across the country nationally that are on strike right now, too, and other workers in general, other frontline workers who are not treated fairly. So people need to pay attention to what's going on in their communities. We really do need to increase union density, the sure way to beef up our middle class, to provide people with living wages and good benefits and good working conditions.
Some of us who should consider visiting some of the CEOs, telling them personally what we think of their behavior. Because these are life and death issues in a country that is by far the richest in the world and where CEOs get monies that are jaw-dropping. So, hey, give us the name of the Tenet CEO.
Ronald Rittenmeyer.
We should let him know what our thoughts are in support of our St. Vincent nurses. Well, I thank you. I hope you folks are back soon. Your spirit, your energy is commendable. The work that you do is, you certainly have fans here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
This has been Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.